Courtrooms only care about one thing, the truth. What is the truth? The people who give testimony, they swear in, they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then the lawyer asks the witnesses questions to make sure they tell the truth. And the jury is concerned with only one question: what is the actual truth? And we eat it up. Every quarter, the most watched shows on television are shows about lawyers and the courtroom. Shows that separate truth from lies. We are a people who love the truth. And even people who may not tell the truth still want to know the truth. Nobody wants a lie. Everyone wants the truth. And whether or not we know it, we crave the truth because God is truth. We are made in His image. He is truth. And since we are like Him, we want truth. With all of that in mind, hear the command of our God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." For those taking notes this morning, three simple questions to guide our time. Question number one, what is truth? Question number two, why is truth important? And then number three, how to tell the truth. First question this morning, what is truth? The command, verse 16, do not give false testimony. False testimony is the opposite of truth. Truth and falsehood are like light and darkness. It's impossible to know light without knowing darkness. And it's impossible to know darkness without knowing light. They are opposites. We know one by the other. In the same way, falsehood is the opposite of truth. We know falsehood by knowing truth, and we know truth by knowing falsehood. It's impossible to know one without the other. Lies are the opposite of truth, opposed to one another. And we see this opposition. We see this battle on the second page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. The snake slithers up to Eve. Did God really say? Did God really say that you shouldn't eat from that tree? The snake suggests that God got it wrong. And the snake says, "Let me tell you the real truth. You see, when God says that your eyes are going to be open, it's because He's jealous. God doesn't want you to have it. Because God knows that when you eat of it, you're going to be like Him. You are going to know good from evil. And I just want you to know all that can be known." God is holding out on you. But me, I want your best. It's a battle. One set of propositions against the other. One set of propositions that are true, one set of propositions that are false. Someone is speaking truth, someone is speaking lies. And doesn't that sound just like our world today? We live in a world where people speak of alternate facts, two competing definitions of reality. We live in a world where meanings of words are debated. What do they actually mean by that? We live in a world where gossip and slander abound. What is that person really like? It's a battle. Someone's telling the truth, someone's telling a lie, one set of propositions is true, one set of propositions is false, and many times it's hard to know. This has led some to say, well, maybe we've just gotten the whole thing wrong. And some have said, you know, maybe truth is not really opposed to falsehood. Maybe it's not really truth and lies. Maybe there's just different understandings of reality. Different experiences of truth. Something can be true for you and something can be true for me, and they may not be the same thing. Not too long ago, it came to light that George Santos constructed an entire persona. Santos would talk about his past. And people began to look into his history, and it became pretty clear pretty quickly that he lied about where he went to high school, and then he lied about where he went to college. He lied about what jobs he had. He lied about how much money he made. He lied about his marriage. He lied about the charities that he founded and supports. He lied about his campaign finances. He lied about pretty much everything. And there was great debate. Does it even matter? Does it even matter the things he claims to be true are demonstrated to be not true? And many said, can't that simply be his truth? Why can't he believe anything that he wants to believe? And he says it so convincingly, it seems as though he thinks that is true. In the 1970s, a theologian named Francis Schaeffer phrased the term true truth. And by that, he meant truth that is actually true. Francis Schaeffer was on a quest to remind Christians the world is not gray. There is truth, and there are things that are not true, and that is a lie. There is no in between. It's either truth or lie and nothing else. But that's not all. Schaeffer also reminded Christians that truth can be known. He said, we can know the truth. We can know truth by reality, and we can know truth by this book. It is possible to discern the truth from the lie. There is truth, there are lies, and we can know the truth, and because we can know the truth, we ought to be people of the truth. That's commandment number 9, verse 16. Do not lie. Know the truth and be a person of the truth. That command seems so simple, and yet the scope is enormous. Do not lie. This obviously includes what we say. It means we must not tell only partial truths. And of course, it means not telling complete untruths. But it also has implications for where we work. It means not working at a place that claims untrue things about our products, or working for places that state untrue things about competitors. Implications for how we work. It means to not promise more than we can deliver. It means not to overstate the value of our services. Implications for how we parent. It means not saying all the cookies are gone when the truth is no one's having cookies tonight. It means doing what we promise. If we say we're going to go to the game, then we need to go to the game. It includes how we interact with our spouses. I was so busy at work, I didn't see that you called. When the truth is, I just didn't want to take time to talk. Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. When the truth is, there's a circus in here. It includes how we do school. It means not plagiarizing our papers, saying these are my words. It means not spreading rumors, things that are probably false to begin with. Do not lie. The command is simple, and yet it touches every area of life. The command is to be a person of truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. Second question, why is truth important? Why does any of this really matter to begin with? Why do we need to be people of truth? We look at the command again, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The command gives us the reason why truth is important. And truth is important because the lie is always against someone else. This is saying don't lie because lying will harm someone else. We may lie by gossip. Did you hear what so-and-so did? And that's a lie because we don't know if it's truth and we don't know if it's an error. And yet it destroys their reputation. We may lie by outright slander. You know so-and-so, they're a terrible person. And we know that's not true. We know there are good things about them. We simply want to destroy their personhood. We lie by cheating. Yeah, I can do you a favor. I can take that off your hands. But it's not worth very much. We keep them from their rightful profit. But many times, and probably most of the time, we don't tell such lies as those. Many times our lies are more of exaggerations. We may lie by embellishing the truth. Of course I got an A on that test when I really got a B minus. You should have seen the fish I caught. The thing was practically a whale when it was the size of a goldfish. And we think that such little lies are no big deal. No one is getting hurt. I once learned that one of the hardest things about being a lifeguard is that the drowning person will actually try to drown you. So a person who's drowning will push the lifeguard down in order to prop themselves up. Every lie is like that. Every lie is told to prop ourselves up, and the lie only works by pushing someone else down. You see, when we lie about the seemingly small things, when we embellish the truth, when we exaggerate, it's all to prop ourselves up. And it puts others down. And that's the intent, isn't it? We lie so others feel less than. We want them to think, why can't I be like them? Why can't I have an experience like that? Why can't those things happen to me? And they leave thinking, why can't I get it together? Every lie props up by putting down. And lest we think that no one is put down, our lies always put God down. And we see this principle in Acts chapter 5, and I think it's worth our time to turn there. So if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 5. If you want to use the Red Pew Bible, it's page 773. It's an account of two people who lied, two people who embellished the truth, who thought it was no big deal, and it was a big deal because they put God down. Acts chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the property for himself. He brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to him, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. We can just imagine the scene. Ananias and Sapphira, they sell their field. And they begin to tell everyone, we're going to give all the money from the sale of the field. We're going to give it to the church. And then one day, Ananias brings the money to the church, and he sets it at the feet of the apostles. And he probably says, the Lord told us to sell our field. We brought the money. We just want to be generous with all that Christ has done for us. It's the least we can do. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter knows the truth. And Peter says, you are lying. You sold your field, that's true. But you kept some of the profits for yourself. Peter says, you didn't have to give all the money. You could have kept it all, or you could have given part of it. The money's not the problem. The problem is that you are lying. You want us to think that you're more generous than you are. You exaggerated the truth. And for your lie, you will die. And then right there in front of everyone, Ananias falls over dead. And then his wife comes in, and Peter asks his wife, Sapphira, did you give all the money to the church? Sapphira says, of course we gave it all. Peter says, you're lying. And she falls over dead. And we ask the question, why? Why did God seemingly lose his mind over a small lie? They gave a ton of money to the church. They might have given more than anyone else has ever given to the church. And all they did was exaggerate just a little bit. Just a little white lie. And in fact, they gave so much money that all the people there would have assumed that they did give it all. It's 98% terrific, 2% terrible. A small exaggeration. A little lie. And God strikes them. And we wonder, what is happening here? Why does God treat this as such a big deal? It has nothing to do with anything they did, but everything to do with what they said. It's not the money. It's the lie. They said, we gave it all. When they didn't. And to see why this is such a big deal to lie, we must remember the story. They lied in the name of Jesus Christ. They said, we gave all the money for the church. They said, we're giving the money because we want to be like Jesus. You know, Jesus had no home. He was born in a stable. And when he died, his only possession was his outer garment. He gave everything for the church, even his life. The least we could do is to give our field. You see, we've learned that we don't need any material things of the world to be happy. We simply want to give our lives away, just as Jesus gave his life away for us. We are striving to be like him. With all that Jesus has done, we simply want to follow him. We simply want to be like him. And Jesus says, no. No. You're not like me at all. Because Jesus is the truth, John 14, 6. And Jesus is full of truth, John 1, 14. And there is no deceit in his mouth, Isaiah 53, 9. Jesus is not a liar. And therefore, liars cannot say they are like him. Ananias and Sapphira, they lie in the name of Jesus. And they said, we want to be like Jesus, and we are like Jesus. And the truth is, they are nothing but sinners in need of Jesus. And there was only one response. Verse 11. Great fear seized the church and all who heard about these events. And the entire church in Jerusalem realized, we better be people of the truth. Because do we not claim Jesus? And do we not claim to be Christians? And do we not tell the world that we're trying to be like Jesus? And because Jesus is not a liar, we better be people of the truth. That was their church. And I hope this church is thinking the exact same thing. I hope our church right now is thinking, how can I make sure to be a person of the truth? Because do we not claim his name? And do we not tell our children that we are trying to be like him? And so we better make sure to be a person of the truth. That brings us to our third question, how to tell the truth. This side of eternity, the lie often looks more attractive than the truth. The lie looks more attractive than the truth. And so we need to be prepared that many times it's going to appear to us that telling the lie is the better option. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be careful to speak the truth. We call them white lies. Lies that aren't really that big of a deal. Lies that seem to be the right option over the truth. And such lies usually come after a question. Hey, why didn't you return my phone call? Oh, I think my phone died. That's far more attractive than saying a hard truth such as, I forgot to call you back, or I just didn't know what to say. What do you think of my new haircut? It's more attractive to say, I like it, than it is to say, what were you thinking? Do you like my dress? Of course I do. It's far more attractive than I would have got something else. Such situations are hard. And it seems as though there's only two options. I can tell the truth and be a jerk, or I can be nice and tell the lie. But the command is clear. Do not lie. If we feel the temptation to lie, many times the best option is simply to ask a question in return. I got my hair cut. Do you like it? When did you get your hair cut? Tell me about that. Why didn't you return my phone call? Oh, what did you call for? Do you like my dress? What is that fabric? Such questions are an opportunity not to lie and an opportunity to avoid a hard truth. Or what about gossip? It's so easy to give gossip, to receive gossip. And the problem with gossip is that it's unsubstantiated, unproven, and probably a lie. You know, America's favorite verse is Matthew 7:1. You know, maybe it used to be John 3:16, but it's definitely not anymore. Favorite verse today, most assuredly, Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest you be judged. America's favorite verse and the most abused verse in all the Bible. This is not saying anything goes. This is not saying live and let live. This is not saying anyone can do as they please. This is not saying turn off all reasoning and critical thinking. But here is what this most assuredly is saying. If the shoe were on the other foot, would I want people talking about me the way I'm talking about them? Would I want those types of things said about me? Things said without source, without collaboration, without evidence? If the answer is no, then we shouldn't speak it. Or what about those exaggerations? Many times it's hard not to exaggerate. And we tell the story just a little bit better than it was. The fish is just a little bit bigger. My stuff is just a little bit better. And maybe you've been in one of those conversations where the story just keeps getting one-upped. And after the first person, the second person says, well, I can do better than that. Oh, well, you should hear what happened to me. That is nothing compared to what I went through. And we find ourselves wanting to fit in, embellishing the truth just a little, even not catching what we are doing. Such situations, it's best to walk away, to be a person of the truth. Or what about keeping our word? We say we'll do something, then we fail to follow through. Sometimes there's a real attempt to follow through, but many times our intentions aren't so good. And many times we make promises that we have no intention of keeping because we think later, well, I can just say that something came up. That's a violation of commandment number 9. We must be careful not to lie by breaking our word. The commandment includes not only speaking, but also listening. When we entertain gossip and rumor and slander, when we listen, even if we say nothing, it assumes that we are complicit. Our presence assumes that we agree with what's being said. Oftentimes, the only way to be a person of truth is to leave a conversation entirely. If things are being said that we know are false, to be a person of truth means to stand up for the truth. And to offer correction and to say, that's not what really happened. And when we aren't sure of the truth, when we don't know what to believe, we ought to believe the best in one another. We must be careful not only in speaking, but also in listening, and even in our thinking, to be people of the truth. The most watched shows on televisions are shows about courtrooms. And before people give testimony, they swear in. And they say, as God is my witness, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's exactly right, because God is our witness. God witnesses everything we do and everything we say, and our God hates lying. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord lists 7 things that he hates. He gives 7 things that he considers an abomination, and of those 7, he lists lying twice. That's amazing, isn't it? He says there's 7 things in this world that I hate. And he puts lying on the list not once, but twice. Our God hates lying because it goes against everything that he is. And for those who claim the name of Christ, the way to be faithful to Christ is to keep the command, do not lie.